Father, we thank you. We glorify your name. Father, I come before you asking the Lord you would guide my tongue, guide my thoughts. Even as I present your word, O Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will convict us, O Father, that we will live righteous lives and glorify your name. Even as I preach your word, O Father, we pray that, Lord, you will honor your word in our lives, in our families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today's theme is Jesus, my joy. Jesus, my joy. And the key scripture is taken from Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Romans 14, verse 17. And I read, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." So Paul, writing to the Romans, wanted to touch on the issue of people eating food, giving sacrifices to God. And in the light of God has granted all things, and they ought to be received with thanksgiving. But then he clearly states that if you are with someone who is not of a strong faith, be very mindful. Don't be a stumbling block. Don't cause them to fall. So he says, even as we are talking about this issue of eating and drinking, what you should eat, what you shouldn't eat, I want to remind you of three things. And he goes on to say that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. The kingdom of God is not a matter of what I shouldn't eat, what I should eat, but what is then the kingdom of God about? Then he writes, "But the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit." And for the past 2 weeks, what we have done is we've tried to break down the place of righteousness, joy, the place of righteousness, peace, and joy. The place of righteousness, peace, and joy. So just a quick recap. Brother Rob, Elder Rob preached on Jesus, my righteousness. Jesus, my righteousness. How do we say righteousness in Chinese? Why are you all looking at me like that? How do we say righteousness in Chinese? Shamashwa? E. Yes. E. So Jesus, Yesu wada E. Yeah. And when Brother Rob highlighted the place of Jesus, our righteousness, one particular thing I saw was the place of wrath and how Jesus Christ became our perfect substitute. So when you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we hear, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So because God is righteous, holy, just in his nature, when we fell, even through the sin of Adam, God had to activate his plan of redemption. And the plan of redemption went down to the very point where he himself had to be incarnated in the form of flesh to come as his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and I, to take our place, in the wrath that was meant for you and I. And only by that do we become the righteousness of God. Only through Jesus' perfect sacrifice do we become the righteousness of God. And what does it mean to be the righteousness of God? Being in right standing with the Lord, not separated by sin, being able to fellowship, being able to go before the Father. Amen. And we went on to the next week where Elder Craig preached on Jesus, my peace. Jesus, my peace. Jesus, my peace. And he highlighted from the scripture, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And he went on to highlight the fact that in the place of that perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we stand as the righteousness of God by faith, through grace. And in the light of that, we have peace with God. We are justified to communicate. We are justified to relate. We are justified by reconciliation in Jesus Christ. And that is peace. The peace that God gives. This peace is what flows from within and pours out even in every situation. And I remember so strongly when he said, the peace of the Lord begins with the fear of God. For as many of you who have not really listened to our sermon on the fear of God, I would encourage you to go to the website, go to the archive, search the fear of God. You would definitely be blessed. The peace that comes through the forever dwelling presence of the Lord. The peace that comes when we are able to understand that God is with us through the storm, through the fire. So today we are going to focus on Jesus, my joy. And our key, one of our key references in scripture is also from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So he goes on to say, may the God of hope. So the Lord who has called us himself is a God of hope. And he says, may he fill you and I with joy and peace in believing. That even as we believe in Jesus Christ, even as we walk in Jesus Christ, may the Lord of hope fill you with joy and peace. Why? So that you may abound in hope. You are filled with joy and peace by the Holy Spirit so that you will abound in hope. So that you will not lose hope. So today we are going to really delve deeply into the idea of peace and the strong correlation it has with hope. And I pray that even as we go deeper, by the end of today's sermon, you would really understand how important joy is and the source of our joy being the hope in Jesus Christ. So let's go to joy in the Old Testament. Joy in the Old Testament. Joy in the Old Testament. There are about 15 different Hebrew words for joy. In the Old Testament, there are about 15 different Hebrew words which explain joy. And even as you delve deeper in understanding them, you see that some of them point out to be joyful, to rejoice, to make glad, or to be of good cheer, to be cheerful. And throughout the Old Testament, we see points where joy is emphasized. One of the points is in marriage. I remember when I proposed to my wife now, who was my girlfriend then, and she said yes. She said yes, and a lot of things had happened before, but the very moment she said yes, my heart leaped for joy. I was so happy. I was so happy. I didn't even know what was wrong with me. I remember going to work that morning, and I had this awkward smile on my face. Even times when they were questioning me about work I didn't do, I still had that smile in my face. Why haven't you submitted this report? You mean? Pardon me? I was so happy. Because there is a point of joy that comes from marriage. Also, the Old Testament also speaks of childbirth. The joy that flows from childbirth. In the midst of the pain of childbirth, when the baby comes, it's joy all over. So the Bible clearly says in the Old Testament that children are a fountain of joy. Then we go also in the next point, in the harvest. When people harvest their crops, when you work and you get paid, there is joy. And also victory in battle. When you go into a battle and you are victorious, there is joy. And there are many other stands of joy.
In the Psalms, it's clearly makes known that the encounter with the Father, the encounter with God is so joyful. Shout for joy. Praise ye the Lord. They who stand in his presence, there is joy in the presence of the Lord. But one aspect, one word that I really want us to focus on is the chada and the chedva. One being the noun, one being the verb, which speaks of the joy which is got being joined. To be joined, to be in union. And for me, this points out a redemptive work of the Lord. Being in union with the redemptive work of the Lord. Being in union with the delivering work of the Lord. The joy that sprouts when you see the hand of the Lord in your life. The deliverance of the Lord in your life. And clear examples are seen from the song of deliverance sung by Miriam in the book of Exodus chapter 15. When they saw the mighty hand of the Lord, even as he caused the sea to swallow up the warriors of the Egyptians. And then Miriam began to sing. Out of joy, she began to sing because they saw the hand of the Lord, which was able to deliver. Also in Exodus chapter 18, when Moses goes to his father-in-law and begins to tell his father-in-law of the goodness of the Lord, he bursts up in joy and begins to praise the Lord. The work of God's hands births joy in the heart of the believer. And we see in Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10, it says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In the time, even as the prophet was speaking, reminding themselves of the captivity they were in, but yet they still had hope that the Lord would deliver. So he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Keep going. You may be in captivity today, but keep going, because the Lord is able to deliver. You can tell the person sitting next to you, God is able to deliver you. Tell the person next to you, tell the person, God is able. You can shake the person by the shoulder. Tell the person, God is able. God is faithful. For Brother Roxon, Brother Stephen, I think this resonates so much with you. God is faithful. Times when you think God is not going to show up. Times when you think the devil has had you and destroyed you. Then God proves himself to be able. So one critical aspect of joy is in the ability of God. And I want to remind you, whatever you are going through, whatever that is happening, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Now let's go to joy in the New Testament. There are about 8 Greek words which speak about joy. And in the light of these words, we see that they speak about being delighted, being glad, and to rejoice, and to be joyful. And one of the, picking 3 examples randomly, the first I saw was the birth of Jesus. When Jesus was born and the angels appeared to the shepherds in the field, he says, great joy. I bring you news of great joy. The birth of Jesus was a point of great joy. The birth of Jesus was a point of great joy. And also we see also in Luke chapter 15 verse 17, how angels rejoice when one person is saved. There is a party in heaven anytime someone is saved. Anytime someone gives their life to Christ, there is a party in heaven. There is joy in heaven. The heavens rejoice. The angels sing because someone has been redeemed from the pit of hell. And that should tell you how important the ministry of reconciliation is. Find joy in sharing the gospel. Find joy in sharing the gospel. I remember my first time going to the mission field. And this was in the northern part of Ghana. Bolibamboy. In the northern part of Ghana. And the road was so bumpy. Our car broke down 3 times. And finally, when we got there, and I had the opportunity to preach one dawn, I preached with all my heart. I shared the gospel with all my heart. And out of all those that came to watch the Jesus movie, only one was saved. I was so happy. I was carried away. I lifted the man up and I hugged him so hard. And I remember the face of the local folks who were there. I'm sure they thought I was crazy. But I was so happy. I remember in 2000, I believe, and 18, going to Sri Lanka to share the word of God. We go to the northern part of Sri Lanka, Jaffna, and they tell me, Pastor, we are going to a church and we are expecting new believers, a huge family, so please prepare. And the host pastor said, please prepare and share the gospel because we want to plant a church there. So I decide, I normally don't like wearing clothes that tight my neck. If you've seen me, I'm not too skinny. Yeah. And anytime I like wearing a dress, I wear a dress that I can feel free. But this time I decided to wear a long sleeve dress. I prepared to go and preach. I woke up at that dawn, 4 a.m., and I was praying, Father, empower my tongue. Don't let it be about me. Father, touch their hearts. We drove 30 minutes. We got there, and it was just 3 people. A husband, a wife, and their son. So I got there and I asked them, are these the people we are to preach to, or there are another people who are supposed to come? And they said, Pastor, these are the ones. And I felt a very sharp voice in my heart. Preach as though you were preaching to a full stadium. Oh my, I've never, till date, I still remember how I felt preaching. I have never preached with my heart like that. And it was as though I closed my eyes throughout the whole 1 hour of preaching. I preached. They accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We took them to the main church. We baptized them. I came back. A year later, we were supposed to go for follow-up. And they said, oh, now the largest church in the north of Sri Lanka is in Jaffna. And I said, really? So we went there, and lo and behold, this family that I preached to, these 3 people, they had started a huge church. And the best part of the church for me is that they provided lunch every time. So I wish I can go and visit them, because Sri Lankan chicken is the best chicken after my wife's chicken. So it's very, very important for you to understand the place of salvation and the place of joy that comes by preaching the word. Don't be shy of preaching the word of God. Then also we see the place of joy from the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Now the fruit of the Spirit is joy, kindness, love. The idea that the Holy Spirit is in you should give way for a place of joy. We also see James chapter 1 verse 2. It says, count it all joy when you face diverse trials and temptations. How many of you enjoy it when you are going through trials and temptations? Let me see by hand. You wake up in the morning and your landlord sends you a message. Your rent is due and you don't have enough money. And you say, oh, trouble. I don't think anybody does that. But then the Bible is telling us, count it all joy when you go through diverse trials and temptations. Count it all joy when you go through tribulations. Count it all joy because it is working out a godly character in you. Because when you go through trials, it's just like gold being sent through a refinery. And when gold is sent through the refinery, it becomes clear. It becomes detached from all the impurities. It becomes refined. It increases in value. Sometimes what you learn through trials and temptations and tribulations stick to you more than any sermon can stick to you. And in the light of the Greek words that highlight the place of joy, I pointed out this noun and verb, kairo and kara. And they point out to the joy that abounds from hope based on the redemptive work of Christ. Kairo and kara, they span out of the joy based on the hope we have in Christ Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this glory speaks of when sin will be done away with. This glory speaks of when the reign of the Lord will be established over all his creations. This glory speaks of when we shall stand with him, rejoicing with the angels. This glory speaks of when we shall lose these mortal bodies. This glory speaks of when the Lord our God will descend with shouts of angels and all of us will see him. When our bridegroom will return for his wise virgins. And Romans chapter 15 verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. Because the reality is, if you do not have joy by the Holy Spirit, it will be difficult for you to continue on this journey of believing. If you do not find joy in the hope of the return, if you do not find joy in the finished work of Christ, and your joy is in your bank account, if you do not find joy in the perfect sacrifice of Christ, and your joy is in your company, it is easy for the devil to steal that joy. Remember John 10:10 says, for the thief, he cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I come that you may have life and have life more abundantly. If you set your heart on Christ, if you set the priority of your joy on Christ and what he has done for you, you will forever remain joyful. So now let's spend time on our glorious hope in Jesus Christ. Our glorious hope in Jesus Christ. I read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 19 to 21. If in Christ we have hope, in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. Christ, our glorious hope. The idea of Christ being our glorious hope is that by his resurrection, our faith is not in vain. The reason why we can believe that Jesus has called us to a place of glory, even by accepting him, is mainly and keenly through his life that he lived, the death he died, and his resurrection. His resurrection has given us the audacity and the boldness to believe and to walk in fullness of his faith. His ability to override the storms of death speaks of the power that has been granted unto him by virtue of the action of redemption and by virtue of reconciliation to the Father. And by this we so believe. Our faith is not one based on mere words. Our faith is not one based on looking good and showing some sense of piety. Our faith is not one which is based on speaking huge vocabulary to entice people. Our faith is not based on mind games. Our faith is based on the finished work of Christ and establishing the will of the Father on earth, maturing into sons of the kingdom, awaiting his return, and looking forward to the glory that will reign with him in eternal life. And when you read Luke chapter 24, verse 52, it speaks of the ascension. And it says, as the disciples saw Jesus ascending after his resurrection, they went back and they were filled with joy because they knew what it meant. They knew that his words are true. And whatever he has said, we can hold on to it and we can believe it. God's word to us is truth. God's word to us is truth. The second point I want to highlight is that our joy in godly living, by virtue of us being linked or being associated with that death and resurrection, we have been birthed a new life. In the book of Corinthians, it says, the old is gone, the new has come. All things have been made new. We have this new life that causes us to live godly. Godly meaning we are able to overcome every attack of this world. In John 16, verse 33, it says, in this world you face trouble. In this world you face trouble. But hear ye this. I have overcome the world. He has overcome the world. So when we walk in Christ, when we imitate him, when we live and manifest that glory and love won for us in Christ, we are more than overcomers. We are more than victorious. But then he goes on to say, if our joy is only in this world, then we are most pitied. But then he ends by saying, our joy is in our resurrection in Christ. Tell someone sitting beside you, you shall be resurrected. When you die, the Bible doesn't call it death. It says them who are falling asleep. Because just as Jesus resurrected, you too will be resurrected in him. And the joy of overcoming death, the joy of being with the Father, the joy of being with a cloud of witnesses, the joy of reigning with him, the joy when sin will be no more, the joy when his perfect will for us will be established in eternity, the joy of continuous fellowship. This is our glorious hope in Christ. And this should be the foundation of your joy. Because this sort of joy can never be stolen away from you. This sort of joy is not dependent on situations. Rather, this sort of joy influences situations. Now let's go to the idea of joy. What did Jesus Christ say about joy? And I have two verses here. The first verse, Matthew chapter 5, 11 to 12. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Hey! He said you are blessed. You are blessed when people insult you on the account of Jesus Christ. There have been so many times I try to share the gospel with people and they say, you believe in that nonsense. There was one day God had to intervene and touch my heart. I was sharing the gospel to one friend of mine and said, but I thought you had a PhD and you are supposed to think more broadly. Why are you trying to be enslaved by religion? And I smiled. Sometimes it's very difficult to share your faith. But don't relent. I like the scripture so much. Do not fear them who can destroy only the body, but fear the one who can destroy the body and the what? Don't be afraid of man. In your workplace, don't be shy to show that you are Christian. In your classroom, don't be shy to show that you are Christian. He says, if people persecute you and revile you and insult you for my sake, you are blessed. Why? And he says, rejoice and be glad. Rejoice. I remember that story when the disciples were called and were beaten. And they said, don't preach in the name of Jesus again. And they were beaten. Heavy lashes. And what did they do after they were released? You can imagine them jumping in the street and saying, ho, we have also been found worthy to be persecuted. Why? Because there is a reward. There is a reward that is awaiting you if you do not give up on your faith. There is a reward that is awaiting you if you are genuine in your walk with the Lord. I want to say this with all seriousness and with all passion, that this world should not be your focus. The idea of treasure, the idea of impactful living should not be limited to this world only. As believers, we are only sojourners. We are only passing through. And we will end up standing before the Lord our God, accounting for everything we did whilst on earth. What then shall be your reward? What then shall be your reward? When others are receiving white stones because they maintain their faith. When others are receiving new garments because they rejoice in the appearance of the Lord. When others are receiving a crown of rejoicing because they tempered their feelings onto self-control. What will you be given? In the book of Daniel, it says, them that are wise, them that win souls, they shall shine as bright as the firmament. Those that win souls, on the day of judgment, their brightness will differ from the rest. It's not just about believing in Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It's nothing new. Then he goes on to say in John chapter 15, verse 10 to 11, if you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love. Tell someone sitting beside you, abide in the love of Christ. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. One point of maintaining your joy in the Lord is by abiding in the Lord. Abide in the Lord. Stay in the word of God. Stay in godly fellowship. Ensure your atmosphere is preserved by the word. Let the word of God be your reality. Set your mind on the word of God. And I summarize what Jesus said, these two verses, in the statement below. Jesus reminds us that we are not of this world and we should not find solace in it. Just as the world hated him, the world would hate us. He calls us to abide and rejoice in him as we await his return. Now let's go on. What did Paul say about the place of joy? What did Paul say about the place of joy? And I read from Romans chapter 5, from verse 1 to 4. Sorry, not from 1 to 5, 1 to 4. And it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been justified by faith, so we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. the glory that is going to be made manifest in our lives presently and the glory that is going to come at the end. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of the Lord. Then he says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Hey! Do you rejoice in suffering? When you are denying your flesh, when you have to make time to come to church, especially on those rainy days, when you have to share the gospel and you don't feel like it, the sufferings of Christ, do you rejoice in the sufferings of the kingdom? The beauty of those sufferings where you deny yourself that Christ will be born in you, the beauty of putting your flesh under control, the beauty of persecution. Then he goes on to say, knowing that suffering produces endurance. That's why I said, there are some people that because they have not gone through the refinery, their faith is quite feeble. I heard the story of this Nigerian lady who was killed on the news. And because she spoke against a certain religion, and they stoned her to death. But one of the testaments I read said that at a point before they killed her, they told her, deny Jesus and we'll set you free. I think some of us will not even wait for them to ask us to deny Jesus. As soon as they come to you, they say, you, are you a Christian? I'm very sure you're going to start even reciting the Quran. As soon as they come to you and they said, we heard you were a Christian. Peter denied 3 times, but you, I'm sure you are going to repeat it more than 60 times. That's why Paul emphasizes, it is by the grace we stand. By the grace that abounds in the word. And when we encounter these situations, the grace sustains us based on the word which has abounded in us. When we encounter these temptations, the grace of God sustains us. And this grace, which has amounted by the study of the word, is able to shape endurance in us. It's able to shape a godly character in us. And he says, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. When your character is well shaped after the things of the Lord, you are hopeful and you are resolute. I have an announcement to make. And it's not one that is going to make you so happy. But the world is not going to change. The world is going to continue to hate the things of God. And the world is going to continue to hate you. The world is not your friend. In the midst of all the things that are happening now in the world, you should be able to take your stand in Christ. What is the word of God saying about what is being discussed? Stand. Do not be afraid. Stand with the Lord. And he said, if you are shy of me and do not honor me before men, what did Jesus then say? I will also not honor you before my Father who is in heaven. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says something very important. He says, in the light of the ministry of reconciliation which he undertakes, he says that, as sorrowful that I have been, yet I still rejoice. So what am I saying? In the face of pain, in the face of grief, am I saying that, ignore, I know people who, when they are going through phase of grief and they get to the point of denial, they try to avoid the situation. I'm not telling you to avoid the situation. I'm telling you to embrace the situation and acknowledge what God says about the situation. There's a difference between rejecting the situation. And no, if you have a problem around you, welcome the situation. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And now do what the Lord has ordained in his word concerning that situation. And let your joy be found in that word and in your obedience. The Christian walk is not a walk of roses. Challenges will come. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fire will come. You will be thrown in the fire. But the joy of being thrown in the fire is that there is going to be a fourth person with you. There's going to be a fourth person with you who is going to keep you. So I concluded in the light of what Brother Paul said. Our character and walk in the Lord must be our priority in the wake of the return of the Lord. If Jesus returns, will he find faith in you? If Jesus returns, will he find you being a genuine believer? Let your character and let your walk with the Lord be your priority. Then it goes on to say, we may grieve, we may be disappointed, but we still rejoice, knowing that our end is the glory of God. You may grieve. The problems you are facing may cause you to cry at night. But just like Peter, I want to encourage you that even as the storms rage around you, don't take your eyes off Jesus. Don't take your eyes in the midst of the storm. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus for direction. Look to Jesus for comfort. So takeaways from today's service. The first takeaway from today's service is pursue joy, not happiness. Happiness refers to a certain emotional delight that comes from situations. But fully understanding that not all the situations we encounter will be good, we need to establish our joy in something that does not reflect a situation. And this joy must be from the finished work of Christ, spanning from the joy of the Holy Spirit birthed in us. So pursue joy, because some decisions will not make you happy. Pursue joy, because when God calls you to a place, it may not be such a nice place. But the joy of the Lord will be your strength. The second point, Jesus must be our prime source of joy. Don't put your joy in another person. Human beings will disappoint you. Don't even put your joy in your wife. Don't put your joy in your work. Don't put your joy in your children. It is good that they make you joyful at times. But let your prime source of joy be Jesus Christ. Because when your joy is unmovable, when your joy is unshakable, the devil has no place to hit you. Look at the story of Job. When his joy was not in the place of Christ, was not in the place of our Lord, was not in the place of the Father, and the devil struck him, the agony he went through, it took the very grace of the Lord to sustain him. Let the prime source of your joy be Jesus. And three, guard your heart in the face of trials and tribulations. Guard your heart. How do you guard your heart? Remind yourself with the scriptures. Whatever you are going through, go to the scriptures. Let the scriptures be on your heart. Guard your heart. There are so many things that are stealing the joy from people, including certain human beings. Sometimes you talk to a person and you realize that the more you talk to the person, you are always sad, you are always out of touch. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Be mindful of the people you keep around you. Guard your heart and preserve that joy. Another recommendation I'll give to you is worship and music. Enjoy personal worship. Because in the place of worship, the Spirit of the Lord is rampant in your heart. Enjoy study of God's word. And let the Holy Spirit grow in your heart. The fourth point, find joy in obedience to God. Let your joy span from obedience. Desire to obey the Lord. Desire to walk in obedience. And when you obey, be joyful about it. Rejoice when you obey the Lord. Make it a point of rejoicing. I remember when we went for missions once, and we were supposed to go and preach in a village. And we got there, Ketekrachi, that's the name of the village. We got there and they said the funds were not enough, so we have to choose between getting a very good hotel or we sleep in a classroom with our cloth. So we said, hey, we are here to preach the gospel. Let's sleep in the classroom. And we slept on the floor. And I remember sleeping and I felt things crawling on my leg. And I woke up, and at that point when I nearly cried before God the man. I nearly cried because that was still when I was quite young in mission work and I had not really experienced anything. And I said, what is this? So the whole, I remember from past 2 a.m., I couldn't sleep again. But we were sleeping on the floor. And that same mission trip when we arrived, a few of us wanted to go to the bathroom. So they said, the bathroom is behind the school. So we went behind the school, and it was a field. So I went back to the woman, I said, I don't see any structure. And she said, look at what the Lord has blessed you with. So we had to cut branches. Not for us, the guys, but for the ladies. Let your joy be in obedience. Find joy in obedience. It might not be sweet, but find joy in it. Find joy in it. I remember going to visit a family, and one of the rules about local mission work, transcultural mission work, is when you go and they present you with food, eat the food, especially if they are Hindus, because presentation of food is one way they open their house to you. And they brought this rice and beans, and I could see green things around the bowl. And I looked at my mission mate and he said, God is with you. And I responded to him, God is also with you. And we ate the food, and thank God we didn't have any bad stomach. We actually took some more of the rice and beans and took it back to them. But let your joy be in obedience, not only when it's easy, but let your joy be in obedience, even when it's difficult. And the fifth point, pray. Pray for the spiritual fruit of joy to be birthed in you. Let's stand to our feet. And talk to the Father. Tell the Father, Father, help me. And Brother Rob and Brother Stephen, maybe you can come in front. As I was preparing this dawn, I felt so strongly in my heart that we should pray for anybody who is struggling with depression. Anybody who is struggling with depression. So even as Brother Matt, can you play for us? Even as Brother Stephen is an elder, Brother Rob is an elder. If you know you are struggling with depression, or you know you've lost your joy one way or the other, after I finish praying, you can come forward and Brother Rob or Brother Stephen will pray for you. Father, we thank you for today's sermon. We thank you for the peace you've granted us in your word. We pray that, Lord, you will cause us to understand the joy that abounds from hope in you, and the joy that comes from obedience. May we learn how to abide in you. And may we learn how to safeguard our hearts. Father, grant us grace to stand even as you return. I pray for these ones gathered here, O Lord, that, Lord, you will be with them and that you will strengthen them. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you want prayers with reference to your struggle for joy or you are facing any spirit of depression, you can come forward now. We can pray for you. If not, you can go to the first floor. There is coffee, there is biscuits, there is tea. God bless you. See you next Sunday. We are here to pray for you. If you want, you can come. If not, you may go downstairs as well.